Let's pray. Yeah, holy, awesome God, creator of all things, we thank you this morning that you've stepped down from glory to be Emmanuel, God with us. And we thank you that by the cross we have nothing to fear for those who declare you as their Lord and Saviour, because you are bigger than all circumstances. And this morning as we come to your holy word, challenge us, do us good, bless us, convict where you need to convict. But Lord, we just want to be more like you. So reveal yourself to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, in this world of political correctness, the second coming seems to be a taboo subject, especially in the churches. It seemed to be in fear of upsetting people. Well, you know what? God's in the business of upsetting some people, because the harsh reality is he's coming back. You know, I've known Christians for years don't go even into the book of Revelation whatsoever because of the harsh truths that sit in there that really challenge them. And as I was doing this preparation for this over the last coming weeks, it really challenged me. It's one of the sermons that has really hit me to say, what am I doing getting ready for his second coming? As a person, what am I doing in my life that's making me ready? If you turn to 1 Corinthians 3:10-15, if you've got your Bibles with you, I shall read it. It says, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled mass builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burnt up, he will suffer loss, though himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Now, it wouldn't be a Mark Hudson sermon without a practical demonstration. So, we have, what did we start with? Gold. Here we go. Let's find it. Yeah, I raided the wife's jewellery box. So we have gold. What's next? Silver. Raided the family silver. That's it. That's our family silver. What else do we need? Precious stones, wasn't it? Here we go. Precious stones. Notice the diamonds aren't coming out. And then we've got wood and hay and, of course, straw. Now, it only dawned on me, actually, when I read this. Actually, it's actually written in order of how things burn when you look at it. Because when you put a match to one of these things, it goes up in about 3 seconds flat. And you end up with nothing. You start burning gold, and it's almost impossible to set alight. But it says, by fire it'll be judged. So, we have a box of matches to see what happens. But we'll come back to that later. First of all, I want to tell you a story. I hope you're feeling comfortable. Once upon a time, there were three little pigs. All decided to leave home. The first little pig built his house of straw. The second little pig built his house of sticks. And the third little pig decided to build his house of bricks. Later on, a big bad wolf came along and said, little pig, let me in. No, I won't let you in, said the first little pig. See, where else do you get entertained while being convicted at the same time? And he goes, I will not let you in. I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down. And he puffs and huffs and disappears the house and he runs away. So he gets to the second house and he goes, little pig, please let me in. No, no, by the hair of my chinny chin. I remember that now, yeah. I will not let you in. So he huffs and he puffs and blows the house down and the pig runs away. And lastly, he gets to the third house. Little pig, let me in. No, I won't let you in. And he huffs and he puffs and he huffs and he puffs and he puffs a bit more and he puffs a bit more and in the end, he gives up and runs away. Now, there are many versions of that story I've heard over the years. And Wendy keeps reading me different ones every bedtime. I made that bit up. Honest. But, you know, any version I've found of that book, the foundations of which that house, those houses are built on has never come into question. What came into question was the materials they were building the house with. You want to put the slide up, please, Tom? I've got some questions for you this morning. If you knew Jesus was coming back tomorrow, would you change your lifestyle? Will you be able to present all that you have done before him and be confident it won't be destroyed? And as we've heard for the third time, are you ready? Now, back in the days when I was younger, and some may already know that, but I had a proper job. I used to work for Tesco's as a manager. And of course, we used to have area managers who used to come and inspect the store every now and again to make sure we were doing what we're supposed to do. And of course, it was a flat panic when we knew he was coming. You'd be out there on the store, on the floor, tidying up and straightening up and putting all the beans, making sure all the labels are all facing the right way, nice and straight. And then somebody will come up and buy a tin of beans. And you're like, no, no, I've just straightened all those. What are you doing buying those? I think you need to put those back. Thankfully, I was only thinking these things and not actually saying it. You see, we were all sort of focused on what the store looked like and how pretty and tidy and clean it looked for his visit. We forgot customer care. That went out the window. And what was the problem was that we were getting our priorities distorted because the area manager was actually looking for our customer care and how we treated people. And you know, as I've been reading and studying some of this, and this is only my personal opinion, and some may agree or disagree with this, but I believe Jesus comes back in stages. In fact, the seven stages, I think, will happen. Tom, can you put the next one up, please, mate? See, what we've got to think of is those who are in Jesus now, who say that he's his Lord and Saviour, actually have nothing to fear. Because we will be going to heaven. What we will call rapture. It's called rapture. And it comes from the Latin word rapere, which means to catch or to seize. And these are the stages I believe will happen when he comes back. Now, those who are in Christ Jesus actually only need to ever worry about stage one. Because the rest of it, we won't be here to witness. apart from when we get to the last bit where heaven and earth is reformed as it should have been. See, it says in Thessalonians 4, 14 to 17, "For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring him with and who have fallen asleep. For those who declare to you by a word from the Lord that we who are alive will be left until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of a trumpet of God. And the dead in the Christ will rise first. Then those who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so that we always be with the Lord." The question is, are we ready? In Luke 12:40, it says, "You must be ready. You have an ear open in anticipation for that trumpet call. Because when it sounds, it'll be game over." I could almost sort of visualize, you know, on this computer screen, when it's all done with, this game over flash comes up, and that's it. No more, because it's too late by then. 2 Corinthians 5:10. "Are we confident all you have done will not be destroyed?" You see, thankfully, there's no punishment for those who declare Jesus as their Saviour. For those who do, a heavenly place awaits us. But there is a degree of reward, as we've heard this morning. And each one of it depends on what we've built our lives with. What have you lived like? What have you built your life with? See, each and every one of us has got giftings, something to bring. That body of Christ that we've heard before. And don't fall into the trap that thinking, the more I do, the higher up the church I go, the more reward I get. It's nothing to do with that. The reward you get is what you've been called to do. Because the biggest thing that we need to be is faithful and obedient. And that is what the goal is. Are your things that you're doing this morning, today, perishable or non-perishable? See, those who believe in Jesus, as we've read this morning, stand on the firm foundation of him. That isn't in question for those who declare him as their Lord and Saviour. What is in question is what you're building upon that foundation. Like my area manager when he used to come to visit, are we getting our priorities distorted? We may think what we're doing is good or important, but is it of God? Is he calling you to do it? Or do you think you need to do it? See, the only thing that isn't perishable is living like Jesus. Next slide, please, Tom. So how did Jesus live? These are just a few I've come up with, and I'm sure there's hundreds more we can all think of. But he was trustworthy. He was humble. He served. He persevered through troubled times. He was decisive. He was gentle. He stood up for what he believed in. He was committed, gracious, forgiving, honest, loving, had integrity. You know, he even freaked out when he saw something going wrong. He turned over tables and got angry. And folks, it's a viable option if we see it. We don't have to be all nicey-nicey, because Jesus wasn't. See, but of all these things, he was faithful and obedient to his Father. That was him, faithful and obedient to his Father. And folks, this is what we should be striving for. Because when we strive for that, that's when the gold is put on our name. To build our lives on non-perishable goods, just like Jesus did. So if Jesus returns tomorrow, will you be ready? Ready to present before him, in confidence, all the things that you've done? See, 2,000 years is a long, long time. And generation after generation have tried to get their heads around the second coming. But we're told not to waste our time on trying to figure it out. We're told to be ready. To live in anticipation of his return. See, unbelievers will scoff. Even Christians become complacent. Even the prophetic clock, folks, is ticking. And suddenly and unexpectedly, that trumpet will sound. Will you be ready? What have you built your life out of? See, we must live in this healthy tension. On the one hand, we should be looking in anticipation of the Lord's return. On the other, because we don't know the exact time, we need to continue to pray, to seek the Lord, find his ways, to work and spread the good news of Jesus, fulfill our calling, whatever that might be. And no calling is any greater than any other. And above all, we need to be faithful and obedient to Jesus. If you do these things, you and I have nothing to fear. Your life will then be built of gold, silver, precious stones. See, there's nothing more practical than Jesus' return. Seen properly, it provides hope. It provides accountability. And nothing puts the pains and pleasures of this world into a better perspective than the certainty of the Lord's return. But if you are a believer, living a disobedient life, who is using God's gifts that are given to you for your own selfish needs, striving to gather your own gains out of what you've got, where your priorities are distorted, you will be ashamed and apprehensive. Your life will be built out of hay, straw, wood. If you've never acknowledged Jesus and your sin, rejected him, heard the gospel and still don't want to know, you're going to enter the darkest period in history. Because when step two happens, when the Antichrist is revealed, it could be too late to change your mind. Friends, today is the day to change your lifestyle. It is not too late to start building of gold, silver, and precious stones. Today is the day to start building on those firm foundations of Christ with non-perishable goods. So when that fire happens, it'll stand. Today is the day to start striving to be more like Jesus. Today is the day to be ready. And today, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, today is the day to change your mind. Because tomorrow could be too late. We're going to finish with a song, and I believe it's the same song that Dave Much had last week. No coincidence. I think God wants to tell us something. And if you need to respond and didn't last week, today is the day to respond.